wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
This is the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric.
Down in the new basement studios by the lake for our infamous, this is the 2019 summer movie
preview. Why do you say it's infamous?
I don't know. I feel because it's been a staple of our existence, lo, these many years. This is like the seventh version. This is like the
famous.
Sixth or the seventh.
What infamous?
Well, I don't know. I feel like last year I scored
Hitler's
an infamous.
Infamous.
Well, last year
Saddam Hussein's infamous.
Last year I scored an infamous victory in the summer movie preview for the first time ever. Because those, if you're a new listener to the show, we're not just going to talk about the upcoming summer movie season using our friends at Entertainment Weekly as a guide. We will play trailers. We will talk about movies. But of course, as always, my partner and I will compete.
Yes.
In the realm of making predictions as to which movies will be critically acclaimed by the Rotten Tomatoes level of 60% positive reviews, and also which movies will make money. And the financial success in our eyes and in your ears is a film that makes back more that makes back more than its budget with its North American take. I think that's the right way of putting it.
That's right. And since last year it went so poorly for me, I'm going ahead and I'm doing this with basically zero preparation. I don't know who's in these movies. Well, no, I know some who's in the movies, but usually I have directors. I look up a little bit of history on, how their movies have done, what movies have they done before, and try to come up with some predictions there. But this time, much colder on this.
I'm going to defend you a little bit. I'm going to defend your sense of ill preparation. This is an odd summer. When I looked through Entertainment Weekly, and again, we use the magazine Entertainment Weekly, it brings out a special edition every summer called Entertainment Weekly's Summer Movie Preview. We've been using it for years for no other reason than that's what's on the newsstands, and we buy it every year and we use it. I sort of scanned through what was coming out this summer, and I find this an interesting summer in that it is quite heavy on some known properties, which we will come to. Like in certain terms of some familiar names, but it's actually quite light on a very traditional franchise. I just did a quick count in our green room, and I could be wrong, I could be out by one, but by my take, for this upcoming next 3 months, there are only four films that you would regard generously as part of a franchise, and a fifth that is a spin-off from a franchise. And to be fair, that's quite light compared to prior summers where there's been a dinosaur movie and a Tom Cruise Mission Impossible movie and all kinds of things all lined up. It feels slightly different this summer.
All right. I mean, my take on it was that the movies and the way the magazine is set up is it kind of goes through each month and it features what it's considering to be the big movies. And then it's got a list at the back and of just release dates. And when I saw the movies at the back, I was like, aren't these supposed to be big movies? These are big actors, and you made no mention other than a line, and I just feel like it's the entire system's feeding on itself of there are only big movies. There are no small movies anymore.
Okay. Well, that's what, well, again,
or at least not small movies that anybody's spending any time promoting.
Right. I think that's a good way of looking at it. And to be fair, there are some films that I would regard nominally as small movies that apparently are going to be in there attempting to trade blows with some established big fish.
So they say, I guess.
So they say. Do we want to get straight into it, or do we have any other movie news that we want to cover?
You know, we had originally, during some earlier podcasts, we had said we were going to have some discussion about the interrelationship of streaming and stuff, but I think we're just going to
get right to
movies here. That'd be something
else. I do want to shout out something that I did find that I did send to you, but I actually did some research and found that it did not warrant further discussion other than being of interest. There is actually a website out there now called runp.com. And I sent you an article, and basically these fellas in the last couple of months have started this website where they watch films and then you can download their app onto your phone and sort of punch in the name of the film and it will recommend the best moment to get up and go to the lavatory.
Oh, jeez.
Meaning that so you can type in, and a lot of it came about from that Avengers movie, the one that's out right now,
right,
Endgame, which is not a summer movie, but is over 3 hours long. And there was a lot of discussion about, well, when can I leave this? And they have a whole website where they will, they have an app where you can type in the movie and they will suggest to you go during this moment because not a lot happens. And then there'll be a quick blurb of what does happen if you go to the bathroom at that moment. I actually went to their website and just sort of looked around.
Mm-hmm. And we know it's an issue for you, so you should be prepared.
Yes, but I found that I didn't want to download the app to see if it works. You can only get the time to go to the toilet by downloading the app. The rest of the website is a very rudimentary website that has people opining about films.
So you're saying there's not money in this?
I think there's money for them. They've created an app that allows you to go to the toilet.
Let's just assume that. Okay. They're not making their millions off of this one. But, you mentioned Endgame, and I think that's worth noting that once again, it appears that the biggest movie of the year is not going to be a summer movie by any means, because this movie's already at $800 million domestic, $2.6 billion worldwide. It's hard to believe anything's going to possibly catch it this year.
No, and it came out at spring break. So there you go. Yeah. All right, so I have the bell. We're ready to get going, right? I have the bell. We're going to get going.
Well, you know, listen, if you're going to start big, if you're going to go with big movies, you can't start much bigger than this one, so.
What we are witnessing here is the return of Titans.
How many of these things are there?
17 and counting.
That's messed up.
Mothra. Rodan. Ghidorah.
Lions and tigers and bears, oh my.
Oh my.
They all respond directly to an alpha.
And you can tell by that screech.
Stop this Ghidorah. We stop them all.
This is a Godzilla movie.
Is there another creature that might stand a chance against
it? I think he comes out here and does the full noise thing.
My God. Zilla.
May 31st, probably by the time you listen to this, unless you listen to it very promptly, this movie will be out.
So will we.
Starring, see, this is the kind of information that I would normally have.
Starring Carl Chandler, that you recognize.
Yeah.
Actor from, maybe I'll come back to who it stars when we talk about this movie. The movie officially is titled Godzilla King of the Monsters. And by the way, all the trailers that we play, we will embed our YouTube playlist so you can actually have the trailers queued up and watch them in their entirety and learn about these films while you listen to us. I wrote down some other information. The director is a chap called Michael Dougherty. This is his first big film. He has been a writer.
It's technically a sequel to 2014 Godzilla.
Yeah, and I do want to say this. I did count it as one of the four franchise movies because Godzilla in different iterations. Obviously, there's old school Godzilla emanating from, and I wish I could remember the name of the studio in Japan now that is famous for being the home of Godzilla. There's been a couple of US versions. The one back in the 90s with Matthew Broderick and Jean Reno, famous French actor who was in the Assassin movie with a very young Natalie Portman and was also in Ronin. They're in that first iteration of Godzilla, and I think there was a notion that it was going to take off, and it didn't. Then a couple of years ago, Gareth Edwards, who had previously made The Raid and then went on to make Star Wars Rogue One, he sort of helped reboot the franchise with Bryan Cranston and a few other, a pretty A-list cast. So when I watched that one, and I'm not knocking Carl Chandler, who I think is a great actor, this is a quite definitely more of a B-level cast.
What? Well, it's got Vera Farmiga. It's got the woman from... It's got the guy from Get Out.
The guy from B-level.
Oh.
If you don't know their name, they're B-level. This is not Godzilla.
It's got Bobby Brown from Stranger Things. She played Eleven in Stranger Things. Did you end up watching Stranger Things or not?
No, there you go. B-level.
Well, that's just...
So this is my point now with this Godzilla movie, and I'm going to...
Call it a Godzilla movie?
Godzilla. I'm going to... Okay. Because I have a bit of a cold or summer cold going right now. The budget for this thing is listed as $200 million. So I'm going to come in early. Really? As the defender champion, I'm going to swing early and swing hard. This movie's going to bomb financially, but it will... be critically not well acclaimed, but it will meet its 60% criterion on Rotten Tomatoes. And so I have something in my eye.
Which I know is you're really struggling over there.
I've got my
let me talk for a little bit while you try to figure out what's going on. I would. So the thing is, I kind of looked at it. It is it appears to, based on the trailer, be very well made, like visually impressive, and that I couldn't find the thread of humanity in it. Like, even though it has these stars, you would think they'd have some story about, you know, they had some role or something, you know, like there's just something more than just the monsters. I don't see that there's anything more than the monsters.
I'm going to tell you why.
And I'm going to, well, this is,
I'm going to tell you why,
but I'm going to give I got to give my prediction.
Get your prediction. And then I'm going to tell you.
So I'm going to say this is critically down.
Okay.
So you had set up, right?
No, actually, yep.
I need to mark both mine and yours.
Yeah, please do that.
We can't really trust you to do this properly. So I said critically down. What did you say the budget was?
$200 million. Make your prediction, then I'm going to tell you why you're going to lose.
I'm going to say financially down only because...
I'm actually going to tell you why you're right.
Yeah, so I'm going to say down just because this way. I think I'm...
Double bump.
I beat you on the on the other part critically. So critically, Zeph thinks it's going to be do well. Financially, it's going to down. It's going to...
$200 million is a lot of chunk. It's a big chunk.
I mean, it's going to make enough money around the world, so it's not losing money. So they keep making these movies, but you know, by our standard, we go by a very U.S. centric standard.
Well, I'm going to tell you why I think, and you just made a point that, well, where's the humanity in this movie? They have attempted this in a couple of different versions of rebooting Godzilla. Godzilla has never really taken as a modern monster franchise. It does, by the bottom line numbers, it makes a lot of money, but no one's sitting there going, oh, let's roll out the next one. And again, they've sort of cleaned out half the cast. They've gone with a slightly, again, you know, I was being really harsh, but there's no A-listers in there. There's some good actors.
Yeah, I don't think the A-lister part matters. I mean, you know, like, so take a movie like Pacific Rim, which was also about basically Godzilla-type monsters coming through this thing with Idris Elba and a bunch of people. And, you know, there really weren't A-list people in that. But,
yeah, okay.
But it had a comedic thread through it, like it revolved around the people, not around the monsters, and there's nothing in this that seems to suggest it revolves. Now, who knows? Maybe the next trail that comes out explains that Bobby Brown is the long-lost daughter of the guy from the other show, or you know, and so that's what it is, and turns out we're all wrong, and if I do that, I, you know.
But here's my issue with Godzilla.
I got screwed on the trailer. But
I think Godzilla is a cult idea, but, and I, you know, again, I'll sit and I'll do Godzilla stick with anyone. The Beastie Boys do Godzilla ripoffs in their videos. We all love having a laugh about black and white and cheesy looking 60s and 70s Godzilla movies. But what I'm saying is, as a modern hyper special effect, really, and again, you look at the trailer, this is a great looking big budget summer blockbuster movie. I don't think Godzilla resonates with the modern movie marketplace. Whereas the dinosaurs and monsters of Jurassic Park do.
Well, again, I just think that Godzilla has to do with, like, you know, we talked about childhood viewing of
people. Yeah, Godzilla has this sort of kitsch appeal. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, Godzilla. But again, I love Godzilla, but I ain't dropping $15 to watch this. I didn't watch the last one.
Yeah, well, we saw the last one. It's decent. I mean, whatever. Anyway, so that's one in the books.
All right, that's Godzilla.
Next one, very much a different type of thing, but... I get right into it. The whole point we're all going to see this for.
Well, we don't. That's just the thing that starts the trailer. Trailers now have a little thing.
Oh, it's like a bump.
I could hear the whole tune in my head. It was all there. I could see all the notes, and I just had to get it out.
It's a little bit funny. This feeling inside.
What did you say your name was again?
My name is...
Reggie!
Reginald Dwight.
Reginald? That's my granddad's name.
So that is a fat boy from nowhere. Get to be a soul man.
You gotta kill the person you were born to be in order to become the person you wanna be.
I'm thinking of changing my name to Elton.
But that's my name.
Yeah, I know.
You can be the best-selling artist in America if you desire.
I was trying to do something bold.
Isn't that the guy from Bodyguard?
Yeah. Isn't he on Game of Thrones too?
Can you even play the piano?
Was he on Paul?
He was
on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he died a couple of weeks ago.
Richard Madden is the voice there.
Don't kill yourself with drugs.
All right, anyway, so this is Rocket Man.
Couldn't find a budget on Rocket Man.
Just enjoy it well.
I'll just throw that in now. Could not
Doesn't
find a
matter,
budget.
It's beating it.
Yeah.
First sleeping arrangements, Kato. All of this is gone.
I just hope you realize you're choosing a life of being alone forever.
Taron Egerton, who you might have first saw in the Kingsman movies as the young fella. Yeah.
Okay, I knew I recognized him, but I remember.
The voice of Richard Madden, who we just discussed there, the Scottish fella, he was in a big British TV streaming hit.
I don't like
called
that
the
this
Bodyguard.
Isn't the real version here.
No, they're sung by the cast.
This one doesn't even sound right. Long after you've killed yourself. The other one sounded like
Elton John blessed, though.
Yeah,
I think he was involved in the whole thing. He's either listed as executive producer or he gave it his blessing. I think so.
So anyway, I mean, it's fine. Critical ups, money up, they'd be fine. You know, after
I'm going to say the same thing.
After the Queen movie or whatever that was called made all that money, I don't have any doubt these things are going to like kill. And in fact, we're going to have
director,
two more musically
the
focused
director
music
is
coming
up. Well, you mentioned the Queen movie. The director is Dexter Fletcher, who was originally in, I think he was originally in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. It's the first time transatlantic audiences might have seen him. He's knocked around British TV. He's turned his hand at directing. He is an associate of Matthew Vaughn, who produced those movies, okay. And has gone on to direct an X-Men and one of those. I think there was the girl superhero movie that he did a few other things as well. But Dexter Fletcher,
say the girl superhero movie.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called.
Wonder Woman.
No, about
Captain
some young
Marvel.
No, about it was like a like sort of
Kick-Ass.
Kick-Ass. Yeah, he directed Kick-Ass. Dexter Fletcher, anyway, the director. He is known in Hollywood as the guy who came in and finished directing the Queen movie. Because remember, the original director, I think, was Bryan Singer, and he got into all kinds of Me Too trouble, and he was removed from that film by the studio. And Dexter Fletcher came in without credit, because that's how it works in the system. Mm. He's not listed anywhere on the Queen movie. I think he gets a listing as an executive producer, but apparently, according to Rami Malek, who played Freddie Mercury, he says, no, Dexter Fletcher was the guy who came in and made this movie, you know, roll. And again, he's now got his hands of a very similar property.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they sort of
like
dragged him across.
You know, I may sound like a part of me wants to be like, oh, it's going to be a success and, you know, whatever. And it's
I don't think this is
cynical.
I don't think this is a runaway success. I think it just makes his money back. Again, this falls into
Didn't the Queen movie make quite a lot of money? I mean, it got nominated for things and nobody thought it deserved it.
I mean, yeah, I don't know enough about the Queen movie. I couldn't find a budget on this. I will say this, though. I do
can't
find...
High.
It can't be high, but I'm not going to sit here and say that this is going to be... It's going to make its money back, but that's as much like because its budget is going to be cheaper. Like a comedy, its budget is cheaper. Because to be fair, I'm of the opinion, and Elton John, we're of the generation of Elton John. The people our age aren't dropping our cash to go to the cinema to watch this. Because people our age are not going to the cinema.
But
remember a couple of summers ago when I was all over the Beach Boys movie and nobody went to see that?
Well, but that was a much different kind of movie.
Sure,
I'll
give you that.
This is a very feel-good, you know, up-from-nothing kind of thing. And that was all like with the weird stuff with the different actors and things. That was much more like that old Bob Dylan movie, I'm Not There, where it was like artsy kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
But this is a feel-good. Somebody went to see the Queen movie, and it's not like everybody's been sitting around listening to those tunes all the time.
That's true.
So this is fine. I mean, and you agree, right? It's critically up, financially up.
Up, such Rocket Man.
All right. So by the way, I don't think we mentioned it at the top. We're doing this chronologically. It'll be two parts. So this way, you know, we've covered enough parts. Generally, chronologically, we're going to break out a chronological pattern a little bit, but from here and there. But mostly,
everything in the first part, everything in part one is coming out in the next 3 to 4 weeks. Everything in part two is coming out from at least the start of July.
Not true, but
not true.
Close-ish.
But in general, we do jump out a little bit. But to be fair, this show has veered from being a competition to being a discussion. But at some level, it's also a practical guide for you, our listener.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There
no,
you
we're
go.
Telling
so
people
go.
What to see. Or nowadays, we're probably just telling you to file this away and pull it out when you're doing pay-per-views about 4 months from now. So. Although a couple of these movies seem to be coming out.
But I will say this, for Rocket Man, just watch it on pay-per-view. I do not think this is a film that's either going to be winning any Oscars or is going to make a whole lot of money.
You know, coming from a person who doesn't like to see live music, there is something to be said about seeing music in a big venue. So, you know, there might be a good... If you're really into music, go see it at a theater.
Okay.
But, you know, whatever.
Next movie, what do you have next? I've rung the bell. Let's get on with it.
Talking about franchises. Ooh, let's see what we got here. We may be in a pre-roll ad. Yes. So we need to... 3, 2, 1, and Let's get bad.
Well, it's not going to save itself.
I'm driving.
I think this is where they're doing the bumper thing, because I've watched this trailer and this part comes up again in the trailer.
Yeah.
I gotta need to skip those.
Are a rumor. Recognizable only as deja vu and dismissed just as quickly. We are the best kept secret in the universe.
I know.
Hey, she's in two movies this summer.
Yeah.
You erased my parents' memories, but you didn't get mine. It took me 20 years to find you. How many people can say that? I found you, which makes me perfect for this job.
Agent M, we may have a problem in London.
Welcome, M. You will be with Agent H.
MIB, you Carillion scum.
And FYI, your little club here sucks.
Come on.
Well, it's not going to save itself.
I'm driving. That really should be here.
I love this country.
So note that the joke there was about jumping in the wrong car inside the car in England. Another trailer has the exact same joke.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if there's anything much more to see here in the trailer. So it's we're dealing with Men in Black : International. So I guess it's not a number anymore. I forget. Did we get to 3 in the old version?
I think we did, yes. And that's why when you watch that trailer, there's like thumping sort of like generic sort of pop music. Yeah. And you keep waiting for Will Smith's voice to burst out. But of course, Will Smith's not in this.
He's tied up being painted blue for Aladdin.
Yes, for Aladdin. So
I did like this little character, this little small guy who comes around.
Yeah, when you watch it, there's some small little computer imaged alien. Directed Men in Black International, directed by F. Gary Gary, whose last big film was Straight Outta Compton. He also did the Italian Job remake.
I think the writer of that is one of the writers of another movie this summer. The
budget is $110 million, which when we do our predictions, I'm going to throw at you as something interesting. Is it Tessa Thompson who's in it?
Yeah, Tessa Thompson, who's really quite a big deal these days.
Yep.
Is in Westworld and has been in a number of movies, so more than Westworld.
Quite a hot property.
Yes.
And like then the chap whose brother is in Westworld. Which Hemsworth is that? It's one of the Hemsworths, isn't it?
Oh, this is a younger brother. But Chris Hemsworth is
Chris Hemsworth?
This is Chris.
Okay. Who's Australian but doing a British accent.
He's not the Thor guy from the other thing.
No, he's the other...
He's the middle brother. He's actually, I don't even know if he's middle-aged, but he's middle-sized.
I think he was the Hemsworth who was in the Star Trek reboot. He plays Captain Kirk's dad very, very briefly at the start of the original Star Trek reboot. And I think he was also in the Ron Howard Moby Dick movie about, from a couple of years ago. Anyway, it's Men in Black International. You also heard the voices of Emma Thompson and Liam Neeson reunited for the first time since Love Actually.
Is that true?
They were in Love Actually together.
Yeah, but do you know if it's the first?
Well, when that thought just came into my mind, I'm sitting there thinking of all the Liam Neeson movies where he's on a plane taking out villains, or on a train taking out villains, or in France taking out villains. I don't feel he's done any other movies, and Emma Thompson wasn't in any of those movies.
Okay.
So by extension, reunited for the first time since Love Actually.
Well, yeah, and he doesn't get much of a role in this trailer, so who knows? Maybe he's only in there for a couple of minutes.
And I don't think Emma Thompson was in the Lego movie either.
Okay.
So there you go. And that's Liam Neeson's lot of late. And I love Liam Neeson.
By the way, I'm not even going to bother mentioning this movie, but just because you mentioned Lego and I'm going to forget otherwise, there's a Playmobil movie coming out.
Oh, really?
And Playmobil, for people who don't know, are those little toys with just little round heads.
Yeah.
It's like really for toddlers.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they decided, oh, Lego can do it, we can do it. I'm going to guess that they can't.
I find Men in Black an interesting franchise that seemed to have come and gone, and you think, well, that's its lot. You said before they did 3 of them.
Yeah.
It's almost like some movie executive sitting around going, what have we got in the cupboard? Mm-hmm. What have we got in the pantry to add to these potatoes and beans to make dinner? Oh, a Men in Black movie, we still own that property. Like, I'm not sitting here going, oh, wow, I can't believe there hasn't been a Men in Black movie for 9 years. They were so funny. I watched the first one, and then after that, it was a bit of a one trick for me.
Yeah. It's not that, I mean, like, so, wow, cool, crazy technology things happen. They just randomly invent aliens or something. It's not like it's like a cohesive worldview or something like that. Even in this one, like, some of the, you remember in the original one when he gets in a car, he's got in a black car, and turns out the black car can drive on the ceilings of the tunnel. Well, they just get into a tube in England here, and it suddenly just changes around them like a cartoon. Like, yeah. It's not even like a real thing that is changing. It's just, you know, poof, now it's this thing.
There was a lot to be said about the first Men in Black movie. It was very well, it was well done. It was well written. There was, the humor worked on a couple of different levels. I checked out of them after that because I'm not Will Smith's biggest fan, and so, Tommy Jones is right. Tommy Jones.
So what's your prediction?
I'm gonna say double bomb. I think the critics will react the same way as I will to, another Men in Black movie, really, who cares? That 110 number does put it in that very, it's tantalizing, isn't
it? Yeah, so I'm going to go the other way.
That's a Vegas line number, isn't it?
Down, because I can't imagine they're going to be like, oh, yeah, this one is a really good one. But I think it makes, you know, enough people are going to go to make $150 million in the country here. So
okay, all right, well, I'm going to double bomb, because that's where I always go when I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what we got next here? Here's a smaller one that you didn't really get a lot of time with in advance, but we'll throw it on here. You're right about this, like, this double trailer thing. It's kind of disorienting.
This peaceful town, on these quiet streets, something terrifying, something horrifying is coming.
Excuse me, we're closed. Get away from me!
What the hell was it? A wild animal?
This is really awful. Maybe the worst thing I've ever seen.
Well, was it wild animals?
So what are you thinking?
I'm thinking zombies.
What?
You know, the undead. Ghouls.
My, are you in this together?
Flesh-eating zombies.
Don't joke. It's really, really creepy.
I think that was Steve Buscemi. There was.
Yep. Well.
They gravitate towards things they did when they were alive.
Coffee.
Iggy Pop, I think.
Chardonnay.
Carol Kane.
Did she just say Chardonnay?
Yeah, she did.
Main stars being Adam Driver, Chloe Sevigny. Oh, Danny Glover's in it.
Yep,
Rosie Perez is in it. Oh, I was right about it. Here's
Welcome to my world.
Tom Waits.
I've been telling you this is all going to end badly.
Well, that's unfortunate. I'm quite confident of my ability to defend myself against the undead.
It was originally supposed to be Bill Murray and Daniel Craig, of all people.
Oh.
And then he couldn't do it, so Adam Driver stepped in.
All right. So, The Dead Don't Die.
Directed by indie icon.
You played some minor league ball, didn't you?
Well, a little class A. It was a long time ago.
Directed by indie icon Jim Jarmusch, who is famous. I'm going to try Ghost Dog Way of the Samurai, which was a Forest Whitaker Hitman movie, which is very good and very left field. Broken Flowers with Bill Murray, and also, my God, I've forgotten his name now, who's in Westworld. He's also Felix in the latest iteration of James Bond movies. What's his name? African-American actor. Great actor. He's in Westworld. He plays Bernard.
Bernard, yeah.
Yeah.
That guy.
Anyway, great movie. Chloe Sevigny's in it, and so is Jessica Lange and Sharon Stone and all kinds of other people, and that starred Bill Murray. It's called Broken Flowers. It's a really nice sort of, I wouldn't say it's a romantic comedy. It is about a guy looking up his old girlfriends because he hears one of them might be having a son or something.
Are we talking about the same? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the director, Jim Jarmusch. Okay. So what I'm saying is he is like an indie icon.
Yep.
Who now is at the helm of a summer zombie comedy, and I find that kind of interesting. It's a bit like, I don't know. I'm trying.
Well, Shaun of the Dead was a small guy, right? Was that?
Yeah. I don't like zombie movies, but I do enjoy a good zombie comedy. I enjoyed Shaun of the Dead. I love Zombieland.
Zombieland was great.
And I watched this trailer, and I'll probably go and see this because that's got a great cast and it's right up my alley. Yep. I don't know what the budget is. I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to say it's double up.
Okay.
Because it can't be too expensive even with that cast, because there's probably a lot of people working the scale, because that's how they get them all into those movies. And I think my point about Jim Jarmusch, this aging indie icon, is the critics, They're just going to see his name and they're going to go, oh, yeah, it's a whole new take. And you might go and see this movie and go, that was the dumbest comedy I've ever seen. But my point in terms of playing the game is because of who's doing it, he's going to get a pass from the critics. So I'm going with a very rare double up.
Yeah, critically up, you know, there's not knowing the number. It's kind of hard to say. And these are one of those movies. Some of these movies.
Well, what's the golden rule? The golden rule of comedies are always cheap. Right.
Yeah, but we've had these comedies like the Will Ferrell gambling thing with that didn't make its money. Yeah. We've had some definite failures, but this feels different. This feels a little different because it's more like a Wes Anderson or a type of comedy.
Big
thing
cast,
like that.
Yeah, lots of people doing that thing. Yeah.
So I'll go with you there. So nobody's gonna make any money up there, but
that's a movie, and again, that got a big spread. I think it got quite a large spread in Entertainment Weekly. So again, you know, this is an indie movie that, for whatever reason, is garnering a bit of attention. You know, the dude's won like the award at Cannes and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I just find it interesting, and I think this is my point when I said at the start of the show, and this is going to be my theme that I'm therefore going to try and bend everything else I say around, that this isn't a summer loaded with traditional franchise movies. Instead, it's got a film like this.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's The Dead Don't Die.
Now, getting into traditional comedies, or what I guess is a traditional comedy nowadays, here's another one.
I've spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly because you tread on my dreams.
What? Startled me there. I'm in a single-income household.
Amazon Studios, this one from.
I think it's time for a raise.
I can't give you a raise, Gabe. It's like giving a raise to
second
a
movie with Emma Thompson, yes. Just in June.
Yeah.
You're fired.
She's coming back.
Who are
you? I'm Molly. I'm a new writer.
You want to
sit down? Okay.
Mindy Kaling, who got a big couple of pages in Entertainment Weekly, although you didn't actually notice it.
No, I did. Yeah,
it's kind of comfortable, better than a chair.
No, big Mindy Kaling fan. I didn't watch your show.
I came to tell you this year is your last.
What? They can't replace you if everyone loves you.
So that's two people from The Office there, Mindy Kaling.
Do none of you understand what is at stake here?
I am being replaced. Think about why the show is bad and come on.
I wish I was a woman of color so I could just get any job I want.
We talked about this. You can't say that.
I know what everyone thinks of me, but just because I was lucky enough to get this job doesn't mean I'm stupid enough to lose it.
What exactly is wrong with my bits?
You're a little old and a little white.
What can I do about that?
I have some jokes for the monologue. I shouldn't do this in an English accent, should I?
No.
Watch me! This is your show. It's an expression of who you are.
How would you describe Molly?
Yeah, very unrealistic movie. Splash of color. Because I hate to say this, there are no women of any color on late night. And every time a late night host changes hands, they go, how come we're just going to pick another white guy? So the fact that this whole show is based around a female late night host losing her job, this movie very unrealistic.
Yeah.
It's like social commentary for a society that does not exist. So, yeah, so Late Night, it's released by Amazon Studios, which I think is the most interesting thing about this, because I'm going to come at you now and I'm going to drop a double bomb just out of the bat.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, Emma Thompson doesn't move the needle anymore, and Mindy Kaling is a great TV star, but you're now sticking this thing out in the summer, and I think Amazon Studios are looking to have it both ways. If their advanced tracking is not good, this thing will probably appear in one cinema on a Friday night and then be streamed straight away. I'm going to give Late Night a double bump.
Let's see if I can find their financials here as we're flying along. It looks like I cannot. Okay, so I don't know what the budget is.
I don't need to know a budget to hammer things.
This is tough. I mean, it does have that feel like, it just feels like in... Despite it being, oh, it's, you know, female contemporary, just being an old-fashioned...
Yeah, and then, and the older lady learns from the younger lady who she thinks wants a job, and at the end of the thing, she is reestablished as the queen of late night.
Yeah.
And I don't feel... You know, wasn't it... Wasn't there a couple of summers ago where Anne Hathaway and Robert De Niro done some comedy... about the workplace.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I get it, that there are certain ideas that you can rehash from the 1950s onwards and just change the parts around. I mean, you can go all the way back to His Girl Friday and the front page and all these kind of things with, you know, old dude and young dude and male, female. And you can chop and change the genders, or one's white and one's black. But at the end of the day, you know, it's the old rule. It's one of three stories in Hollywood. And, I watch that, and I don't sit there and watch that trailer and go, wow, this is going to be great. It looks, this is a project that Meryl Streep passed on. And I'm not knocking Emma Thompson. I mean, this is probably a script that's been kicking around Hollywood, and at the end of the day, no one really wanted to run with it. And so Amazon have gone and run with it, and they've got Emma Thompson and plugged in a TV star.
Yeah.
And I'm not hammering people when I say that. I'm just dealing with the reality of what this thing is doing, and they're releasing it in the summer and hoping for the best. And if not, it will live a great, profitable second life on streaming.
I'm gonna go with you, although I do think it stands a chance of getting critically well-received. Probably, you know, it's not going to be a big...
Because those guys are really talented. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I'm coming across as interesting, but I don't mean that.
But I agree that financially it's not going to do very well.
No, that's late night.
It's a shame. What do we got here next? All right, back to big movies. I'm not going to trust the beginning of these trailers anymore because they're deceiving me.
But that's why you have a slider. But I think this is it.
Doing space missions now. Cool.
We get the astronauts, we bring them home. Go.
Jennifer Lawrence, like, in the third tier in this movie.
We gotta get out of here.
Where's Jean?
Where is she? Jean!
I'm going to make a comment about... Remind me when this is finished. I'm going to make a comment about trailers.
Did you hear what the kids are calling you? Phoenix.
Hello, Jean. Who are you? The better question is, who are you?
That's Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
Something's happening to me when I lose control.
So this is the X-Men movie, Dark Phoenix.
But it feels good.
That power... destroyed everything it ever came into contact with. Until you. The X-Men fear you. And what they fear, we seek to destroy.
She'll kill us
all. All right, so...
X-Men Dark Phoenix. On the YouTube playlist that you can click onto on the blog and watch all these trailers, I posted the what was listed as 20th Century Fox's final trailer. There are trailers and obviously TV spots running right now, and I'm going to make a comment about this, nothing to do with what I think the film is going to be. When I watched that trailer, for some reason I felt like the standard stars of X-Men, the current standard stars of the X-Men franchise, so I'm talking about James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, Jennifer Lawrence.
People don't know, like, these are technically supposed to be preceding the ones with
Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. Those guys have been the established stars of the franchise, but I felt they made only fleeting appearances in the trailer. And I'm suddenly thinking, ooh, is this an X-Men movie now where those guys aren't going to be in it as much? It's going to be this new villain. And then all the younger X-Men who are not as well known, such as Nicholas Holt and all these sort of people. I have noticed now when I've seen some of the TV spots over the last couple of days that all of a sudden Dr. X and Magneto are featured far more heavily than they are in that trailer. And that was my gut reaction when I watched the trailer. I'm thinking, ooh, not so much bait and switch, but is this one of those franchises where they're attempting to, I don't know, it didn't feel like it was a Dr. X and Magneto movie. And I'm not suggesting, I don't know enough about the X-Men comic book series to suggest that that should be the case. But they have been the stars of this rebooted franchise, starting with First Class, which I really enjoyed. And then, you know, Apocalypse, which didn't do very well. But this is Dark Phoenix with Sophie Turner, who I think... Is she on Game of Thrones?
I mean, I don't know. You're missing the biggest point to this movie.
Hit me. Tell me.
She's one of the major stars of the Game of Thrones. She plays Sansa Stark, who ends up being in charge of the North. I mean, like, she's been a pivotal thing. She's grown up with this thing, and she's actually become quite a good actress, whatever we're saying these days. This is where it's going to make its money. It's going to do great because people want to go see her in her next big thing.
The budget is $200 million.
Yep, it's fine. Over it, no problem.
Oh, you are? You're going to say that?
Yeah. Critically well-received and successful financially.
Wow. I didn't expect you to come so strong so early. I thought we were going to have more discussion and we were going to lead into our prediction. Mm-hmm. Because, you see, the last X-Men movie, X-Men Apocalypse, didn't do that well. And I overrated it. I overrated it last time because I'm not a comic book guy, as I've said many times, but I do enjoy watching the X-Men movies because I really like the actors, which was why when I watched the trailer, I'm thinking, well, where's the dude who's Dr. X and where's the dude who's Magneto? Because that's why I'm watching these movies. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see these young, no-name people. Even Jennifer Lawrence was sort of, yeah, she makes one appearance in the trailer, and I'm thinking, oh, is she not really going to be in it then? The last X-Men movie didn't do that great. $200 million... is for these sort of movies a relatively low. I mean, I'm gonna say double up because I have to because I'm. It's suicidal.
See, I psyched you out of it.
It's suicidal to say that it's not gonna meet that number. But the last one struggled to make its number, and its budget last time was something like 280. It's directed by someone called Sam Kinberg, who's a British director. This is his first directing gig, not his first big gig. He's a writer who has written some of the X-Men movies, and he was given it. He was given the chance to run this one. I watched an online interview where he was like, yeah, I really know where this story's going. And, you know, there was lots of discussion amongst the comic book people. Do we get to Dark Phoenix now? But I was all ready to go there. He's in charge of this. I'm going to be livid if this thing bombs and I didn't get a chance to call it.
Skeptical because you're like, struggling. You're like, that one did bad. And then you say, oh, I got to go with up here. And so like, listen, if it turns out the other way, it's like a double loss for you.
Yeah, this is because I like nothing more than slamming things.
Mm-hmm.
So to therefore
to have missed the opportunity to slam this in advance.
And to therefore have a movie, tied into a movie success is difficult for me.
Let's all mark the calendar because if this actually comes to pass, Zeph will recharacterize the entire thing we come around as. I told you it was going to be bad, so I'm going to take credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's double up. I mean, these things have an audience. I do think the X-Men franchise, though, yeah, it's coming to its end, I think.
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
Not being part of the universe is starting to hurt it.
Well,
okay. I hate to say that. And this is somebody who doesn't know anything about any of this.
So, I mean, like, listen, the latest talk I hear about these things is the problem with these universe ones is being too beholden to these, being unable to turn it. Like, you know, sure, obviously the stuff with Avengers is doing great financially, but it's unclear now after you just destroyed the world and they threw new people in it. What are you going to keep doing progressively through time?
And again, we've said this, but this is an old line of ours that will regurgitate. If you're not too careful, you end up having basically an Expendables franchise with, hey, so-and-so's in it. I mean, I do respect the fact X-Men's done its own thing.
The X-Men's putting new people into it, but they've used all the biggest characters from X-Men.
Yeah, you know, so now like, you have to reboot those characters.
I'm sorry, not X-Men, on the Avengers, you've used all these characters, like, so, you know, as... Although I guess they were replacing Captain America with somebody else, like in the plot, you know, as well. But, you know, you run off other folks and, you know, you got to come up with this next tier. But we'll see about it. I think X-Men set up to do more flexibility. Have you been ringing the bell?
Yes.
I didn't even notice.
I'm going to ring it now if you're done, but you were still making an X-Men point.
Yeah.
You are done.
I want to check and see if timeline where this one lies because this is somewhat out of order here. Nope. This is only slightly out of order because it's actually an earlier movie, but because we were talking about Game of Thrones, folks, and you haven't watched this at all, is the official trailer for the movie Domino by Nikolai, with the main star being Jaime Lannister from Game of Thrones.
I don't know anything about this movie, but I'm going to be ready to make a prediction off it. That shows you how brave I am. This is the first time I'm seeing anything about this movie. So
that? It's Brian De Palma.
Oh, wow. The same dude who, when he watched George Lucas's first cut of Star Wars, said, "What is this?"
Upstairs in the crime scene. Us was down the fourth floor with the suspect.
He just apprehended a man.
It's got that sound too.
Yeah.
Are you Farouk Harris?
I recognize that actor, but I can't remember who he is.
Lars! Officer down.
Oh,
All right, that's all I need to know. The torture.
Friends who are our enemies.
And it's got Guy Pearce, who I love. Great actor. Great actor.
One man band. With you, I don't just get a bloodhound. I get a pit bull, too. They didn't help him escape. They took him.
Hey, Ben. It's hard to tell what the movie is. It's clearly a crime thing,
serial killer, psycho.
Nikolai Coster-Waldau appears to be a police officer and is getting framed up for a murder, and it's gritty behind-the-scenes stuff.
First I've heard of it. I watched that trailer. I'm ready to make my prediction. That is a double bomb. And let me tell you why. Because you Game of Thrones fans, you get so caught up in your Sunday night bubble that you believe the whole entertainment world is fueling off Game of Thrones. But you, like, the first thing you said to me was, "You're the dude from Game of Thrones." Yeah, that don't mean nothing in the multiplex in June.
It's only like double the bomb. Biggest TV show of like all time of all.
Yeah, but I don't watch
times.
It.
Well, that doesn't matter. Watch it. Just because you're out of loop.
And there are a lot of dudes like me.
It just goes to show you're like a bad arbiter of culture at this point. I don't even know why I have you on the show
anymore. No, I'm the independent arbiter of culture because I don't bring any preconceived biases and notions. Like, well, oh, Game of Thrones,
that's a problem
great.
With culture. If you're predicting, it's for you to like be a critic, but that doesn't allow you to predict things.
Yeah, I'm predicting double bomb.
Well, I wish I don't know the budget on this. You say double bomb.
Write it down somewhere, though. This is a true prediction. I've never even heard of this movie until you just played the trailer.
You know, I'm saying double up.
Okay.
Heck with you.
Up versus down.
Yep.
And my paper's all destroyed.
So mind you, I didn't have a lot of advanced study on this movie. I just...
You added it an hour ago. You unilaterally added it to the playlist.
Yeah, but an hour ago.
That's the decision you made.
I'm just saying
it's
not like you've had a bunch of time. No, I'm just saying you act like the fact that you didn't have any advanced notice is going to be a big problem.
Is there anything else? While you've got the magazine open and we're talking about a film that we sort of didn't pre-decide to put in there, is there anything else you want to chat about and throw away now before we play another trailer?
As long as we're talking about police type things, Shaft, there's another Shaft coming out.
And it's just called Shaft.
Yeah, it's just called Shaft.
Which is confusing to me because
they did Shaft.
It should
and
be
I
like,
sworn I saw a prequel, preview at one of the movies where they had three Shafts in it. Like they had three generations of Shaft. Like, in this one, the big plot line, according to the trailer, is him and his son.
Okay.
Right? And then when I saw it in the movie theaters, they had an older guy.
That's Richard Roundtree.
Too.
That's the original Shaft.
So they had all three. There's no sign of Richard Roundtree in this trailer whatsoever.
Okay. But there's still three Shafts.
Yeah. And we're not even bothering the trailer. There's just not enough. I mean, you could throw it in if you want, but I don't.
No, I'm not. I mean, I find it interesting that the film is. I shouted out Richard Roundtree. So he was the original Shaft from like 1973. And then they made a couple of sequels. Shaft Goes to Africa. Shaft's Big Score, I think, is one of them. But, and that was a different time when you actually gave sequels either a different name or a number. Then they rebooted Shaft with Samuel L. Jackson, I think, about 10, 15 years ago. I can't remember who the villain was in that. And for a small moment, I actually wanted to say I thought the villain was Christian Bale. But that shows how old it is. I think it was early 2000s. But I think I'm incorrect when I say that. So this movie, again, isn't like Shaft something something. This is just Shaft again. But I guess it's the same. It's all very confusing. And it sounds like they're just trying to mine a character and a theme tune.
I think it'll keep going. While we're on the crime things, there's another movie in June called Killers Anonymous with Gary Oldham. And some other folks that are decent-sized names. But as far as I could tell from the trailer, it's like being in Alcoholics Anonymous, and they're like assassins, and they're getting
together. Is it
together.
A black comedy?
It's just a really horrible trailer. There'd be nothing to get out of it playing it here, but it just was – I was like, well, if that's the trailer, I'm not even that interested in as a trailer, and you got major actors involved in this thing. But so put that on the list of maybe you're going to see it, but maybe you're not.
Anything else you want to shout out?
That actually takes us through.
I think we have one left in July.
Left in June.
Then let's do that, and then we'll break the show.
I just wonder if it's going to be too little, because the June one we were going to do here is going to have a follow-up that's really an August movie.
Oh, but let's do that follow-up. We still got 10 minutes in this show, and we'll play this trailer. We'll talk about this film, and then we can also throw in the other one, and then we can get out.
The next episode may be short then.
Don't worry about that.
Well, I mean, we could.
Oh, do you want to stop now and begin the next episode with our double barrel discussion?
If we stop now, the
discussion.
Trailers will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
You know, this wouldn't happen on Game of Thrones. Someone would get his head chopped off.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. we'll do these. I mean, we're going to have to add some stuff in, but if, maybe make it short the next one.
All right, so you're going to play a trailer now, yeah, or we're going to end part one?
Yeah, I'm going to play it. Actually, maybe I'll play this one. We can do the next one afterwards.
And okay.
Like a segue. All right. So this is it.
No, let's do the other one in order and come back, and we'll come back to this topic.
All right, fair enough.
People don't want to know how sausage is made. Again, this is a pre, this is a pre-roll to the trailer. Very annoying.
It is.
This was my last gig. If it has happened by now, it's like a miracle.
Miracles happen.
So they show visuals of all the power going out around the world.
What happened?
Electricity flicked off all over the world.
Cheese!
Yesterday,
Ellie bought you a present.
All my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Why did you write that?
I didn't write it. Paul McCartney wrote it. The Beatles.
Who?
John, Paul, George and Ringo, the Beatles. No, stop it.
Yesterday.
It's one of the greatest songs ever written.
Well, it's not Coldplay. It's not Fix You.
Do you genuinely not know who the Beatles are?
Genuinely.
Then I'm in a really, really, really complicated situation.
When I find myself in times of trouble.
So the premise of this movie is that the world flickers off. I don't know why the world needs to flicker off for this to happen, but then the Beatles are eradicated from history, and this guy's still got all the songs in his head when he comes back, and he's just busy going to become a big star by writing, not writing, but using all the Beatles songs.
We should talk.
Directed by Danny Boyle.
What's her name in it? That from SNL.
Kate McKinnon. Yeah, I was just about to say Kate McKinnon's in it. Ed Sheeran's in it. Lily James is in it, and the lead is played by Himesh Patel, who I don't know much about. It's written by Richard Curtis, who actually wrote the aforementioned Love Actually, and Four Weddings and a Funeral, and Notting Hill.
Said Danny Boyle's a director.
Danny Boyle's a director. So Richard Curtis is a writer who is a. Who is a foundation?
The woman there is the robot from Blade Runner 2049.
Okay, and she's also in the new James Bond movie, which Danny Boyle was supposed to direct before it all went up this morning.
Except for you are.
So again, Richard Curtis, the writer, he is a cornerstone of the British rom com. Hugh Grant, all these guys. So yeah, this film, as much as I think the idea is moronic,
this is one of these plots. This plays out, shall we? So they soft pedaled this little scene where they have Carden saying there's these two people who say they wrote these songs.
Yeah,
and so I'm wondering if they're going to bring on Lennon McCartney as if they were like schlubs who did write the song. They just never got famous.
But they can't. He's dead, isn't he?
No, not Lennon. In real life.
Oh,
I mean,
sorry,
his character
sorry.
Is in the plot.
Okay.
Like, is it a plot element?
I mean,
it's got Ed Sheeran.
I think this movie is moronic in its idea. But I'll be really honest with you. It's got some real freight behind the camera and in front of the camera. I don't know what the budget is for it. I couldn't find the budget. It's called Yesterday. It's got all the Beatles songs. I don't know how I know how I feel about it, the film. I know how I feel about the film. But that's got nothing to do with whatever the prediction is I'm going to make when it's time to make predictions. I find this an interesting... I can't decide now. If you're told to go and see... If you have to make a choice between the Rocket Man movie and the Yesterday movie, how do you make that decision? You can't watch both. Which one do you watch? And it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, it's obviously it's got to be... It's obviously some sort of a rom-com, clearly. I mean, when you stop and think about it, it's a classic rom-com hook. Yeah. Oh, well, no one remembers a beat on... I don't know.
Well, and then he's getting famous, he's getting involved with other women. It's kind of like, what was that one with this replacement singer for Judas Priest?
I don't know that one.
Marky Wahlberg with Marky.
I mean, Danny Boyle does great job putting music in his films. You watch the Trainspotting, the music is another character. Obviously, Slumdog Millionaire won his Oscar for, which is, you know, his take, the mainstream take on a Bollywood film. You know, 127 Hours, you watch any of those things, the music is part of it. So I can't think of a better director to have running this whole thing together. I just don't know how I feel about it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess, am I going to make a prediction?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the critics are going to like it because it's the Beatles and it's the power of the Beatles. You know, I mean, I guess it makes money. But I sit there and I go, no, there's a part of me who thinks this idea is even more unoriginal and idiotic than the Emma Thompson playing the aging TV star,
yeah,
leaning on her replacement for support idea. I don't know. There's something about it. I'm like, seriously, I really have to suspend this. I have to suspend my belief to go and watch this movie. Like, the hook is just so moronic. Beatles songs don't exist. Really? I struggle with it. I'm going to say double up because I'm playing the game, and I'm darned if I'm going to lose after winning one year. I have to say double up.
Yeah.
Even though by rights, this is an idea that should be double bombed to death.
Well, I'll say double up also.
About the other film, we're going to drop that other film in part two where it lines and join the two
money.
Parts
the
together.
Money could bite us on the butt here because maybe it costs a lot of money to put this much Beatles music into the movie. I think this could be a case of where the trailer doesn't tell us all of its heart to it. You know, like that if the plot line is, I could easily see critics saying, you know, listen, what this was really about is about any of us who have success we don't feel we deserve.
Okay.
You know, that, yeah, like, it's dumb luck. Like, even the people who write songs originally don't necessarily think they're going to be the success they are. They think, I like doing music, and then suddenly they're world famous, and how do they deal with that? If that's the version of what this is, maybe there's something to that, but it's very hard and tough.
You make sure, because I actually listened, it's funny enough, on Friday I listened to Band on the Run in the car, and I'm like, a lot of that album is crap. So,
right.
There's my gratuitous
undeserved
Paul
success.
McCartney. No, I'm with you. I'd be interested to see how it plays out. There's a part of me I go, but to be fair, as a summer film, yeah, people are like, you know, they're going to go and have a good time. You either watch a stuff.
I do think the music thing, and like I said, we're going to have another music movie. There's only so many times people are going to go see, you know, basically taking a bunch of old tunes that we all are familiar with and turn them into a
movie. I'm going to lay this out right now. You don't know what we're talking about listening at home. You'll have to listen to part two. There's another movie that's going to come up in part two, and I'm going to throw it out now. At the end of part two, we're going to have to face that movie against this movie.
Yeah. Well, in terms of which one it's better.
Okay.
Better.
But. All right. So there you go. I think that's it. Let me ring the bell. That's it for part one.
Yep.
We've covered pretty much June. And again, our playlist is embedded on the site. You can find it on YouTube. It's under AV Summer Movies 2019.
It's even got the movies for the second half. Yep. So even if you have lessons, you can preview them ahead of time so you'll know what we're talking about when we get to them.
All right. So see you in a week's time with part two. This has been the Atlantic Voice. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for the Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.